Lecture topic, A Father's Advice.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه: يا بني لا تشرك بالله، إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه: حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. فقال أبو ذر: خابوا وخسروا، من هم يا رسول الله؟ قال: المنان والمسبل والمنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله المولان العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, I have selected before you few verses of Surah Al-Luqman. Allah Rabbul Izzat had endowed this individual, Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, with such foresight, such wisdom, such sound knowledge, that he is still today remembered and revered and honored and given the title as Luqman the Wise. We can gather and understand how deep and how sound his advice was, that Allah Rabbul Izzat gave it such recognition that Allah quoted the advice of Luqman to his son in the form of Quran and preserved it, for which we memorize and recite it. And Allah has also labeled one chapter in the Quran by referring it to it as Surah Luqman. The ayat-e karima that I recited is part of a discussion where father advising his son. Perhaps you and I should reflect, ponder and contemplate after listening to these advices on how many instances do we gather our children and address them on this issue, and how much of this form of advice have we imparted and implemented into our children. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says, when father and son are sitting and discussing and father advising his son, oh my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whatever happens, in قُتِلْتَ أَوْ حُرِّقْتَ, whether you burnt alive or you killed, don't ever ascribe partners with Allah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Oh my beloved son, oh my loving son, the son I cherish and I honor and I love, you must understand that shirk is the greatest form of injustice and oppression that any soul can commit to himself. Allah quotes this advice. That is the first advice, father advising his son. Then Allah switches in the sequence of the Quran from the advice of Luqman to the son. Allah switches to Allah's personal advice to insan, to the son of Luqman, and to humanity in its entirety. And thereafter Allah resumes back to the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. The mufassirin deduce certain guidelines in Allah adopting the sequence. And what is the next advice that follows in this chapter of Surah Luqman? After Luqman has advised his son, then Allah goes on to continue with the advice. And Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And we have commanded man and ordained man to be kind and loyal and obliging and respectful to his parents. Furthermore, amongst his parents, Allah singles out and highlights the kindness of the mother more in this particular ayah. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. Allah says that his mother bore him and carried him with sickness upon sickness, weakness upon weakness. Brothers, before studying the Quran, many a times the thought used to cross my mind that every time the mother harps on one thing, that you stayed in my stomach for 9 months and I kept you here for 9 months. As a child, at times, personally, I used to get monotonous and I used to say, okay, you done it, it's over. Wallah, when Allah gave me the opportunity to study the Quran and understand the Quran, I have safely come to this conclusion. Whether your mother harps on this kindness or not, wallah, Allah is harping on the same thing. Whether your mother is stressing it upon you or not, Allah is stressing it upon you. So Allah says kindness to your parents. Then Allah resumes back and continues with the advice of Luqman. What is it? Ya bunayya innaha, oh my beloved son, if you have to ever disobey Allah, don't ever do it. In fact, another advice, I want to focus my whole talk today on the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. The words of wisdom that came out from this Abyssinian slave who lived in the era of Dawood alayhi salam, who was given a choice between wisdom and prophethood and opted for wisdom. Allah gave him such wisdom that the Quran recognizes and quotes the wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. O my son, لِيَكُنْ جَرَاءَتُكَ عَلَى الْمَعَاسِي بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَى النَّارِ. You must have that amount of courage in disobeying Allah proportionate to how much you can bear the azab of Allah. Who can bear the azab of Allah? Ya bunayya, oh my son, innaha, that wrong, innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardal, be it a sin, infraction so small that to the size of a mustard seed, fatakun fi sakhra, and then you commit that wrong in a concealed place, hidden in a mountain, aw fi samawat, or on the earth, aw fi al-ard, or on the earth, or beneath the earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ لَطِيفٌ بِإِسْتِخْرَاجِهَا خَبِيرٌ بِمَكَانِهَا. My beloved son, as much as I love you, whatever you're doing, be it in the skies, on the earth, or hidden somewhere, Allah's eye is on you. And on the day of Qiyamah, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. As minute as the vice might be, we will produce it, and our knowledge suffices for accountability. We need not computers, nor calculators, nor angels, nor books. However, angels and Nami Amal is to prove you and record what you have done. Otherwise, man, you are capable of denying the wrong you have done. So for your purpose, that is why there are angels that are recording and there are books that will be presented. But the knowledge of Allah, it's an insult to say that Allah needs that book to make records. That record is for man's purpose. Allah's knowledge is complete. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ النَّسِيَّ. Allah doesn't forget. لَا يَظِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Musa, describing Allah in the court of Pharaoh, said, my Allah never makes a mistake. My Allah never forgets. So the Nami Amal and the angels, it is for our benefit, so that these books can be presented before us. The Mufassirin say, what was the wisdom in mentioning the advice of Luqman, where the father advises the son and cautions the son against ascribing partners with Allah? And then Allah continues the advice by stressing upon the importance of parents, and then Allah resumes the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. I came across this today in Tafsir Uthmani, subhanallah. May Allah fill Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi's grave with nur. He extracts a unique explanation in this sequence. He says the father did not in this particular advice stress upon his son, oh my son, respect me, honor me, revere me, so that it does not reflect an image of pride that I want my son must salute me and revere me and honor me. But rather the father stressed upon the son the rights of Allah. So when the father took it his duty to make the son understand his obligation to Allah, Allah took it upon himself to make the son understand the obligation to his father. The father played his role in making this boy understand who Allah is. Allah revealed the Quran and told this boy understand who that father is. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salam, came to Abu Darda. Oh Abu Darda, my father insisted I get married to this girl. I got married. Now things are not going very smooth. My father insists I divorce the girl. What advice can you provide for me in this dilemma of mine? Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, I'm not in a position to tell you to keep your wife, nor am I in a position to tell you divorce your wife. However, I will quote for you one hadith which will make you understand the rights and the obligations you owe to your father. On the grounds of that hadith, you can view the esteem, honor that Allah has endowed your father. Then you can value his statement that he has said. I have heard the Nabi of Allah saying not once or twice, but repeatedly, that the best form of entering Jannah is service to your father. فَإِنْ شِئْتَ حَافِظْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ الْبَابِ وَإِنْ شِئْتَ دَعْ. If you wish, honor that entrance. If you wish, abandon it. The choice is yours. Nevertheless, One occasion, Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam addresses his son, which I want to discuss today. And he says, "Oh my son, I have studied the lives of Anbiya alayhi salam in detail. And I found out eight salient qualities, eight outstanding qualities common in the life of every Nabi. In essence, it is the summary of deen. Oh my son, implement these four advices. The other two out of the eight are, don't ever mention them. And the last two, don't ever forget them. So four things to be conscious about. Four things, omit it and erase it. Two things, omit it and erase it from your memory. And two things, oh my son, whatever happens, don't ever forget it." What deep advice. The first thing, oh my son, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. Oh my son, when you are performing salah, my humble advice to you is, take care of your heart. How can you communicate with Allah and your heart moving in your shop, in your bazaar, speaking about or planning your deal that is to happen after salah, or thinking of the meal that you are going to eat? The hadith Qudsi, Allah says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِلَى مَنْ تَلْتَفِتْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي. Oh my servant, you stand before me and you focus on someone other than me. Is there a being that is more attractive than myself? Is there some other deity, some other ism, some other power that's more kind, more loving, more cherishable, that you stand before me and you think of him while communicating with me? Wallah, when that servant puts his head on prostration, it comes in the hadith Qudsi, you are not bowing on the floor. The most honorable organ in the human body is his forehead and his forelock. That head goes in the court of Allah. You are bowing and prostrating before Allah and not on this ground. Nabi alayhi salam seen one person performing salah and he was fiddling with his clothes and his beard. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ. Wallahi, if there was the awareness of Allah in the heart of this man, he would have not been doing this futile action or this, something that brings no benefit and harms his salah. So, oh my son, when you are performing salah, brothers, how sad, how unfortunate, how tragic. Wallahi, I don't have words to describe. We come for salah, some of us, Allah give hidayah to one and all. Some of us, this is the first salah for the week, the last salah for the week. We come first, we come last, we leave first. The condition of our salah, up, down, kiss the ground and back to town. Brothers, we are answerable to Allah. We are communicating with Allah. If in salah, we cannot visualize and focus on the greatness and the grandeur of Allah, then outside salah, when we are sitting in the environment of evil and vice, how will we ponder on and contemplate over the greatness of Allah? So, oh my son, my first advice to you, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. When you are performing salah, take care of your heart and let not your heart digress. Either picture the Kaaba. If not, I always mention for those who do not understand Arabic, picture death. People ask, Mawlana, we don't understand Arabic, what must we do? Brother, picture yourself wrapped up in that kafan. Picture yourself wrapped up, and people standing around the grave, and so busy deciding who will go down, and your son crying, and your son mourning, and someone rushing, and someone crying, and your body lying there, and they're saying, okay, pass the janaza. Now don't, no more doctor sahab, no more this, no more that. Pass the marhum. All your titles have been dropped off. Every day when you stand and you communicate with Allah, picture that grave. You don't know on which piece of land it will be. You don't know who will be burying you. You won't know who will be lowering you. But visualize yourself there. Four people standing down and saying, pass the janaza. You've been lowered. You've been dropped. Wallahi, if we have that awareness of salah, that salah will become an hurdle and obstacle from haram. That salah will motivate us to obey Allah. That salah will bring us consciousness in our life. But unfortunately, in namaz, while standing and communicating with Allah, I'm busy planning how I will do someone down in my dealings after Jummah salah. How I will speak a lie to someone. All my haram dealings have been planned in my salah. With this salah, if Allah only merely, doesn't punish us, it is sufficient. Never mind reward us. We move on to the second advice of Sayyidina Luqman to his son. إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. When you are in salah, safeguard your heart. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ مَعَ النِّسَاءِ وَإِذَا كُنْتَ مَعَ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. And oh my son, when you're sitting with people in a gathering, in a discussion, then take care of this tongue of yours. Nabi alayhi salam pointed to Muaz and he said, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. Muaz, look after this boneless piece of flesh. وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمْ. Nabi of Allah, do you mean Allah will hold us responsible for what we say? O Muaz, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. If anything there is, or if there's any organ that causes more harm to man, then it is the tongue. مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّةً وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. The poet says, I never regretted in my life why I observed silence. Silence was never a moment that I regretted, but there were too many instances that I regretted. Why did I speak? Why did I open my mouth? If I was in a gathering and I was silent, I never regretted I should have spoken. But there were too many times I walked out and said, why did I speak? Wallah, just as you're regretting today, perhaps you can recover. Perhaps you can compensate. Let it not be as the riwayat appears in Musnad Ahmad, where the Nabi of Allah says, "Inna rajul la yadnu min al jannah." A man obeys Allah, and he comes so close to Jannah, hatta ma yakuna baynahu wa baynaha illa dhira. He is an arm's length away from Jannah. He obeys Allah. His endeavors are in accordance with the dictates of Shariat. He lives a life of servitude, a life of compliance with the commandments of Allah. He is so close that the words of the Nabi of Allah is, he is an arm's length away from Jannat. فَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. And here he comes and he utters such a statement that earns the displeasure of Allah, for which he is distant totally from Jannat. Nabi alayhi salam says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. Many a times a person utters a statement, لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسَ. In his personal opinion, he says, I can't see anything wrong in what I said. That's the words of Nabi alayhi salam. He utters a statement, perhaps insulted someone, perhaps offended someone, perhaps embarrass someone, and he justifies himself by saying, well, I don't see much wrong in it. He deserved it. I think I was justified in saying what I said. La yara biha ba'sa. He approves it by himself. He sanctions his statement. He justifies his statement. The Nabi of Allah says, Allah views that statement differently. Yazillu biha fi nari jahannam aba'ada ma bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. That statement drops him in the depth of Jahannam, such a distance which is greater between the east and the west. That's very Sayyidina Luqman. They say the first act of wisdom that was manifest, that one day he was with his master. His master told him, اذبح لنا هذه الشاة, slaughter the sheep. وأتني بأطيب مذغتين, bring me the two tastiest pieces of flesh. فجاء بالقلب واللسان. He came with the heart and the tongue, presented it before the master. The master ate it relishly, palatable, enjoyed it. Sometime later, the master said, slaughter the sheep, Luqman, وَأَتِنِي بِأَخْبَتَ مُذْغَتَيْنِ مِنْهَا, and bring the two untasty pieces of flesh, that which you wouldn't like to eat from an animal, bring me those two pieces. فَجَاءَ بِالْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ. He repeats the first procedure. He comes with the heart and the tongue. The master says, I asked you for the best, you brought the heart and the tongue. I asked you for the worst, you brought the heart and the tongue. What is this, O Luqman? لَيْسَ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُذْغَتَانِ أَتْيَبُ مِنْهُمَا إِذَا تَابَى. Wallah, there's nothing better in the human body than the heart and the tongue when nourished, and there's nothing evil than the heart and the tongue when neglected. Brothers, that child perhaps will be harsh to your domestic servant. She will stay there because she's desperate. The child will grow up with such a rotten tongue that society will hate him, even deen won't have place for him. Let's teach our children good words. Let us learn respect. Let us learn politeness. In fact, the Quran says, even with the kafir, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Be polite in your speech. Save yourself from wrong. Oh my son, when you're in salah, look after your heart. Oh my son, when you are speaking with people, look after your tongue. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ فَاحْفَظْ بَطْنَكَ. And when you're sitting on the table, be disciplined. Discipline yourself in your food, in your eating habits. Take care of your stomach. Don't overeat. Overeating causing indigestion, constipation, and sickness upon sickness. There was a doctor, a physician, in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, that came to Medina Munawwara. He opened up a practice. Allahu Akbar. He opened up a practice. He stayed there for weeks and months. Nobody came to visit him. He inquired from the Sahaba, tell me your people's food, eating habits. How is it that you don't become sick? He says, our Nabi has disciplined us. We eat in such a way, sitting on the floor, so that we cannot overeat. A third for food, a third for water, and a third for air. مَا تَرَكَ نَبِيُّكُمْ وَلَا كِتَابُكُمْ لِجَالِ نُوْ صِبًّا. Your Nabi has simplified all my medical skills in these three words. There's nothing left. If you will eat like this, I'd rather shut my practice and go open somewhere else. Oh my son, when you're in salah, look after your heart. Oh my son, when you're with the people, look after your tongue. Oh my son, when you're sitting on the table, أَحَبُّ الصِّيَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ صَوْمُ دَاوُودِ. The best fast is the fast of Dawood alayhi salam. One day he used to eat, one day he used to fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to say, oh Allah, one day I want to eat so that I can be grateful to you. And one day I want to be hungry so I can enjoy and think of the plight of those that are hungry daily and perpetually. Oh my son, when you're sitting on the table, don't overeat. Wallahi has gathered the good of both the worlds in these advices. It is upon us us to now implement these advices. Someone asked one alim, ma balu ulama'i zamanina? What is wrong with the scholars of our time? What is wrong with the ulama of our time? We cannot implement their advices. We listen to it, but it doesn't affect our hearts. He gave such a unique example. He said, inna ulama as-salaf kanu ayqadan, wa kana an-nasu niyama, fanabbaha al-ayqadu an-niyam. In the previous times, the ulama, inna ulama as-salaf, the ulama were awake and the masses were sleeping. The ulama awake and the masses were sleeping. فَنَبَّهَا الْأَيْقَاذُ النِّيَامِ So the ulama took it their duty and they awakened those that were sleeping. وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى And I say this about myself and not any other scholar or any other alim. And the ulama of our time are sleeping and the masses are dead. How can a sleeping man revive a dead man? We conclude with the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth advice, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِي بَيْتِ النَّاسِ فَاحْفَظْ عَيْنَيْكِ And oh my son, when you are in the house of people, guard your sight. Drop your sight. Lower your gaze. Modesty, chastity. نَذْرٌ نَذْرٌ فَبِتِسَامٌ فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدُ It's the lustful gaze, which is then translated into a lustful smile, which is then gone into a discussion, exchange of phone numbers, and opening the door of promiscuity, breaking up marriages, losing happiness in their own marriages. Oh my son, whenever you leave, or you're in the house of someone else, drop your gaze. All the laws of taking permission before entering the house is so that you do not cast a glance on any strange person. Oh my son, these are the four advices. We have condensed it. Two out of these things now I'm telling you. اثنيني لا تذكرهما واثنيني لا تنساهما Two things, oh my son, don't ever mention it. Omit it and erase it and forget about it. And two things, don't ever forget. The two things that you got to forget, oh my son, and you got to never mention is إحسانك إلى الناس وإساءتهم إليك Don't ever mention and speak about your kindness towards people and their bad attitude towards you. Oh my son, what deep words, brothers. Let it sink down in our hearts. Oh Allah, inspire us that we implement this in our lives. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ Every person today in the house is claiming, recognize me, understand my contribution. The father, the mother, the son, the daughter, everybody is claiming, I am not being recognized. This principle is teaching us, we don't want to be recognized. Yes, we want to embrace the contribution of others. We want to honor, revere and compliment others. MashaAllah, we accept and acknowledge your contribution. In fact, the Nabi of Allah has taught us a method of gaining the reward of every person, and that is compliment the others, acknowledge the good of others. Let us learn to become man enough. MashaAllah, I salute you, Allah reward you, instead of being filthy and dirty and jealous and using ambiguous terms and in our hearts cursing the man. Let us learn to acknowledge and say good words for others. Who knows, Allah will grant us that good qualities. Nabi alayhi salam says, three people Allah will not speak to. Allah doesn't want to look at them, and Allah has a severe torment. Abu Zar is standing, khabu wa khasiru, most evil, most wretched, most unfortunate. Who are those people, Nabi, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-musbil, that person who lowers his trouser beneath his ankles. Brothers, understand this, the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That person who lowers his trousers below his ankles. Allah doesn't want to look at him. Allah doesn't want to speak at him. Wallah, I used to speak about this before commencing my salah on many, many venues. But I have stopped it because while standing on the musalla before commencing my salah, I used to make the announcement and the severe warnings. And I used to turn around and see people ignoring the warning. It gave me such a shiver. I don't have the courage to mention it when people are openly challenging the words of Nabi alayhi salam. One side, I'm telling you, the consequences are grave. The man dares you and challenges you and doesn't do it. I don't have the courage to mention because of the response. I say this, may Allah give us hidayat. Al-Musbil, wal-Mannan, the second person who destroys his good by reminders of his generosity. Such a person Allah doesn't want to see. Who destroys his good by reminders of his generosity. والمنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب and the third person who promotes an item with a false oath, who convinces someone in his business by taking an oath which is false. It's the cheapest, it's the best, the quality, the price, whatever it is, he promotes it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that false oath Perhaps will convince that customer, he'll take that item. But rest assured, when you introduce lies in your business, Allah and His Nabi stepped out of your business. The choice is yours. Maintain honesty and Allah is part of your dealings. And get rid of honesty and Allah is not part of your dealings. Oh my son, don't ever speak about the good you have done to people. And don't ever speak about the wrong they have done to you. And let us rather recognize the good of others. Sayyidina Ali says, Allahu Akbar, that person who taught me one letter of deen, one, man allamani harfan, acknowledgement to those who gave me, I am his slave. It remains his prerogative and his choice. Either he enslaves me or liberates me, but I am his slave. Wallahi, I have seen this from my ustad, and I think it's my duty to mention this. My asatiza, after my parents, I think the most obligated person I am to is my asatiza. On many instances, I had the opportunity of giving a talk before many of my asatiza. And I've heard them repeatedly addressing me by saying, my friend, my colleague, whereas wallah, they have tutored me for 7 years. And I know how much they taught me and what they gave. Not for a moment did they mention their kindness by saying, I taught him and I educated him. Whenever they made reference towards me, I've seen this repeatedly, a friend of mine, I know him well, just a colleague of mine. And never ever did they make reference by saying, this is my student. That so much they imparted, but no mention. May Allah accept it. And wallah, it is because of their devotion that this silsila is continuing. And may Allah let their knowledge spread throughout the world through the means of all their students. The last two things I terminate my talk. وَثْنَيْنِ لَا تَنْسَاهُمَا. Oh my son, two things don't ever forget, whatever happens. Those two things forget. That is your kindness to people and their evil attitude towards you. But two things, I sum it up for you, my friend, my son, don't ever forget. One is Allah and one is death. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. Let not be those who forgot Allah and Allah also left them. Oh my son, don't ever forget Allah and don't ever forget death. لَوْلَا أَلَّا تَدَافَنُوا. My Nabi said 1400 years ago, if it wasn't for the fear that you will stop burying your deceased, I would make dua to Allah that Allah reveals to you and unfolds to you and unveils to you the torment of the grave. But I fear when you will witness and observe the consequences of the grave, you will lose courage in lowering your deceased in the grave. Otherwise, I would have made dua that Allah shows you what happens so that it strikes consciousness into you. May Allah Ta'ala, by His kindness and His wisdom, give us the tawfiq and the ability of implementing these wonderful advices in our life. May Allah reward Luqman the wise for imparting such pertinent points which can serve and reflect as guidance for humanity till the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.